Hello, welcome to the Lewisburg United Methodist Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit lwbumc.com.
Today's scripture comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Now, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended, they started to return. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he had said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the word of God for the people of God.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all of our hearts together in this place be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and you are our redeemer. And by your Holy Spirit, use these words to glorify you and to glorify Christ, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Over the years, Reva and I have been blessed to work with young people in the life of the church. It's a great experience. We've taken them on many trips. One such trip was to Pittsburgh. We have a good relationship with Peggy Osborne, who was the youth director at Christ United Methodist Church in Bethel Park, PA. And working with Peggy was always a joy. We would sponsor her group when they came to West Virginia, and she would sponsor us in Pittsburgh. We went there to a soup kitchen and had a wonderful weekend. We're on our way home, a couple of vans. Reva's in the front. I'm in the back van driving. We stop at a pit stop. We get about an hour down the road, and one of the kids in the back of my van says, "Pastor Tim, we don't know where JB is." I said, "What do you mean you don't know where JB is?" "Well, he was with us on the last stop, but we haven't seen him since the last stop." I said, "Guys, tell me you're kidding." "Oh, no, Pastor Tim, we're not kidding. JB's not here." And immediately I'm thinking, what am I going to tell his parents? So I speed up and get in front of her, even flag her down, you know, pre-cell phones, okay? And we pull off the road, and I'm just about too anxious. And I turn around and I say, "Guys, who saw him last when we had our last pit stop an hour ago?" And about that time, because JB was such a little guy, they had stuffed him under the seat of the van. And he poked his head up over the back seat and just grinning from ear to ear. And they just broke out in laughter. They thought it was funny. I did not think it was funny. But they never let me forget that they got Pastor Tim really good. Have you ever thought you lost someone? Got disconnected to you? I told this story at 11 o'clock Christmas Eve service. If you were here, I'm just going to go ahead and share it again. It's one of my favorite stories. It's from my friend Harry Yates. Harry's daughter was born with Down syndrome, and because of that, he and a few other families joined together with a close-knit group that did things together. And they went from Birmingham, Alabama, where he lived at the time, to the aquarium, which had just opened in Atlanta, about a two-hour drive. When they got to the aquarium, they made a plan. They all got out with their children, and they went in. But one of the children in the group got lost. He was only about 6 years old. But can you imagine losing a special needs child in a place as big as the National Aquarium in Atlanta? And they were beside themselves. And so they searched and they searched and they searched. And finally, he just showed up. They didn't know where he'd been, and he didn't say where he'd been, except he was just looking at stuff, looking at animals. But when they got ready to leave that day and they went home, the parents told this story to Harry. Later, they said, when we hit the door, the little boy ran up the steps to take his bath. He told his mom and dad, "I'm going to go take my bath." "Okay," they said. And up the stairs. When the mom got upstairs and opened the bathroom door, she could not believe her eyes. There he was in the bathtub full of water with a baby penguin, a live baby penguin that he had snuck out of the aquarium in Atlanta. My friends, if a special needs child can sneak a baby penguin out of the aquarium in Atlanta, is anything too hard for God? Mary and Joseph were worried about their son. They were worried where he was, but now he's 12 years old, and in Jewish tradition, that means he's probably already had his bar mitzvah, which is the rite of passage of Jewish children into adulthood. And so it wasn't unusual that they would not have missed him for a day's journey, because in those days, they traveled in caravans. So the idea that he was probably with his mother in Joseph's mind, or the idea in Mary's mind that he was probably with his father, was not an unusual thing. And they went a day's journey, and they had a day's back, and probably a day's worth of looking to find him. But when they found him, that's when the point occurs. Jesus says to his mother and his earthly father, "Did you not know that I should be about my father's business, or in my father's house," depending on which translation you read? Some scholars, like Bruce Larson, believe that what Jesus was doing at that moment was saying something to his family that maybe we don't pick up on as quickly. And here it is. Is Jesus suggesting to Mary and to Joseph that while there's him and there's others, his family, there's a third dimension to his life? Is he, for the first time and only time as recorded in Scripture as a boy, announcing to them that there's a third dimension to his life? On the cover of your bulletin today, I've put that little triangle to kind of illustrate what I'm suggesting to you, that our lives could be triangular, where one point of the triangle is me. Another point of the triangle is my family and other people I meet. And the third point is God. Now, let me just say one more word about that. One-dimensional living is a person who lives with the state of mind that everything in the world revolves around them. That's one-dimensional living. You may have known someone who was a one-dimensional person. There was a fellow who went to a Hallmark store to get a greeting card for Valentine's Day. And he had to have just the perfect card. And so he asked the person stocking the cards to assist him in finding the perfect greeting card. And this person, they looked and looked and looked, and finally the person said, "How about this one?" And the person said, opened it up and said, "To the only girl I've ever loved." And the boy said, "Oh, that's perfect. I'll take four." Now there's a one-dimensional person who believes that there are four people for whom the world revolves around him. Do you know any one-dimensional people? Have you or I ever lived our lives on certain days in the one dimension? Or what about two-dimensional living? The second dimensional living is that the world revolves around motivating and pleasing others. And while that's good, and there's nothing wrong with it, sometimes that also can be short-sighted if you live your life only for the sake of motivating and pleasing others. And sometimes a two-dimensional person is a person who seeks to control the world. Control the world around them and the people around them. I want to say this with great affirmation. The world, the church, and community cannot exist without two-dimensional living. Because family matters. Joseph and Mary were disturbed that Jesus, in their opinion, was not thinking about the second dimension, them. Even though the text says, and this is a very important point, that when they left Jerusalem, he went down to Nazareth and was obedient unto them. Now, the third dimension that Jesus introduces here is God. So, do you consider there's a third dimension in your life? And that God is a part of that? And how do you find the balance? Jesus was the Son of God. And for us, it means that this third dimension influences how we see ourselves and how we see others. Ron McCauley is one of the persons who is a great mentor to me. And when Hannah, when you were just a baby, Ron baptized you at the Methodist Temple. And Ron tells the story that every time he goes to a concert or a live play, he's always intrigued by the people in the orchestra pit who are tuning up. You know what that sounds like? You know, and there's all these horrific sounds. And then the conductor steps to the podium and raises the wand. And he says, it's the most incredible thing. He says, how can they go from those awful sounds in the beginning to this amazing, beautiful music? And Ron McCauley says, he believes that it is the conductor, is the third dimension, the conductor and creator of the ends of the earth, the conductor and creator of us. And that that third dimension is more important to day-to-day living than we actually realize. Is it what brings balance to life? Is it what brings order? Is it what brings things? Doesn't it say in the opening chapters of the book of Genesis that there was nothing but chaos, and God said, let there be light, and order began to come out of chaos? It is also true, my friends, that the third dimension, as important as it is, must be held in balance with the other two dimensions as well. Self is not unimportant. Care for self is not unimportant. You can't love somebody else until you learn to love yourself appropriately. Have you ever heard this expression of people who are all about the third dimension, that all they can think about and talk about is God all the time, 24 hours a day? We say of them, they are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Have you heard that? It's true. It is so true. Sometimes we can be so focused on God that we forget what it means to be human. The amazing part of this scripture today is that for the first time we see Jesus as a boy, 12 years old, beginning to grapple with what it meant for him to be incarnate. That Jesus was human and divine at the same time. But my friends, we are not in any way regarded that. We are fully human, but we are called to give expression to the presence of the divine in this world. By the way we treat one another. How do we know how to live, and how do we know how to treat one another? Because the third dimension seeks to inform us and guide us in the simplest of ways. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. I remember one time I said that to some group. They said, I got another version of that. I said, what is it? It says, do unto others before they do unto you. And I said, well, I don't think that's exactly what Jesus had in mind. But how we relate to one another is affected by the first dimension, the second dimension, and the third dimension. Let me share this with you through a couple of stories. Ernie and Margaret Leek were folks that lived in the community I lived in and my first pastorate, right outside of Montgomery, West Virginia, on Armstrong Creek. And one of the members of my church asked me if I would pay them a visit. Now, Ernie and Margaret, they owned the little tavern on Armstrong Creek. It was a junkyard in the back, but at the front, the building was a tavern, and people would go in there and order drinks and sit at the bar. And Margaret was the cook, and she made these marvelous hot dogs. They were so good. And Ernie tended the bar and got spare parts for people off of old junk cars. And so I stopped in one day and went into the bar and sat right on the counter, and Ernie came over and said, can I help you? I said, well, I'm Tim Haller, and I'm the pastor up the road at the Methodist Church, and one of my parishioners asked me to stop in and meet you all. Oh, he said, I know. He said, she told me you were going to be stopping by, and I'm so delighted to meet you. Margaret, come on out here. And she came out of the kitchen and was talking to me, and we visited. And they were right. They were just beautiful, beautiful people. And I said, I visited for about 15, 20 minutes, and then I headed on my way. And I would stop in occasionally and visit with them, and they would offer me a bottle of pop. And one day, Ernie said to me, "Tim, I want to tell you something. I appreciate your visits as a pastor right here at the bar." And he said, "Because there are people who call us on the phone and order Margaret's hot dogs, and they won't come in our building. They want us to set the hot dogs out on the steps, and they'll leave the money there on the steps, or we'll come out and take their money from them." He says, "They're good enough to eat our hot dogs, but they're not good enough to come in here and greet us." He says, "But you came in the first day, and you just talked to us just like we were just like you." And I said, "Ernie, as far as I'm concerned, you're just as much a child of God as I am, and I'm just delighted to know you." Well, it was a beautiful relationship with these two folks. They never came to church, even though I invited them, but I still loved them just because of the kindness and gentleness that was in their hearts. After we left and went to Carolina to school for 3 years and came back to Beckley, it was there that I received a call one day, and it was Margaret. They had sold the business, and they were retired. And Margaret said, "Tim, Ernie's real, real sick, and he's not going to pull through. And he's asked me to call you to ask if you would come and baptize him." And I said, "Margaret, it'd be my honor." And I went to their house, and I went in, and there was Ernie in his hospital bed in the living room. And I baptized Ernie right there. My friends, there's never been a moment in my 38 years of ministry that I felt the presence of God more in that moment of baptism and to hear his confession than right there in that living room with Ernie and Margaret. You see, my friends, the third dimension of human life is not directly connected with whether or not a person goes to church or not. It's here. Now, the work of the church is to help us all get connected, but it doesn't mandate it. There are wonderful people out there in the world who are pursuing the third dimension of their life, who have never set foot inside the walls of a church. They're beautiful people. And they have so much to offer us and teach us about living faithfully and learning from one another. Three-dimensional living means we need to give up trying to control or define or judge the people around us. Of all the things that I've learned as a pastor, and the thing that I struggle with the most is the need to be real. When Jesus met his parents in the temple, he was just trying to simply say, "I'm just trying to be real. I'm trying to be who I am, who God called me to be." And that's not easy. Because sometimes when we try to be real, we sometimes don't look or make a very good impression. One more story. A pastor one time was working with his young people, probably not much older than you, Cody, and they would play pickup basketball. And one day on this concrete basketball court in the neighborhood, one particular boy in the youth group was getting more than aggressive. He was a hacker. You know what we call a hacker? Always over the back. Always, you know. And the pastor was just about enough. And so one time, in a weak moment, the pastor confessed, when he came down with a rebound and the boy was just hacking in every way he could, the pastor said, "I couldn't take it anymore, and so I came around, bam, right in the nose. Blood went everywhere." laid him out flat on the concrete, and he said he knew what a horrible thing he had done. And so he got down, and he said, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." And the boy got up. He said, "No, man, I was really beating you bad." Several months later, that same young man who laid on that concrete with a bloody nose announced to his congregation that he was feeling something in his heart that he was thinking was a call to ministry. He couldn't explain it, he couldn't understand it, but he was feeling it. He said, "Now, I've struggled with this for quite a while, but I didn't think that I was ever worthy enough to be a pastor. But that day that our pastor laid me out on the basketball court, I knew that maybe there was hope for me." You see what I'm saying about being real? About living in not just the first dimension and the second dimension, but all three. And asking ourselves, how is it that I can allow God to use even the weaknesses in my life to somehow bring out a positive outcome? It's hard to understand. It's hard to know, but it does come to pass. Let me close this morning with this final thing. Carol and Don Moss were members of our church in Morgantown. They came to us from another small, tiny congregation over in Maryland. And Don passed a few years ago from pancreatic cancer. But Carol continued to be just a lovely member of our church. And she wrote me this on December the 23rd, 2014. She says, 2 days before Christmas, she says, and it's 61 degrees outside. And I've set out on my daily afternoon 1 mile walk around the village. That's a little community there in Morgantown. I spotted a plastic bag. It caught on the brush, and I retrieved it. And remembering how Don and I would walk throughout our neighborhood and pick up trash, I started to do so. It wasn't long before I found a soft drink can and then another and some plastic and a candy wrapper and some cardboard and some tissues and a rubber glove. The bag was nearly full, but then I stopped to pick up a piece of paper. And though it was damp on the ground, it was still legible. And I picked it up and read it. And this is what it said, and she typed it out for me. People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. Count your blessings, not your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your health instead of your wealth. And count on God instead of yourself. Those we love don't go away into heaven. They still walk beside us every day, unseen, unheard, but always near. They are still loved, still missed, and still very dear. Every day we choose what we are filled with, and we choose what we will pour out. I want to live my life in all three dimensions. How about you? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from the Lewisburg United Methodist Church. We pray that you are blessed by God's Word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lwbumc.com.